Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 22nd of April, recording at 5:36 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, this being the Friday audio, I will be doing the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, and I'll be doing that just after commenting on some of the highlights. And I will also introduce some short-term timing comments in terms of strategies. Now, first, though, some of the highlights of today's activities, or activity over the last 24 hours. Wall Street produced some upside dynamics last night. That's finally kicking in with some demand following a short-term oversold condition. That has certainly steadied markets for the short term. My hunch is that upside potential is limited to rallies that may, in some instances, get back close to the highs that we've seen so far this year, but are very unlikely to see any significant upside moves, certainly for Wall Street. That would apply, and also most other markets around the globe. The technical deterioration has been considerable in recent weeks. Now, second point in here of significance today, we've seen the dollar continue to drift back down from its rather narrow range highs, falling particularly sharply against the Japanese yen. Here today, that dollar weakness has added to firmness in a number of the raw material markets, most which are showing further gains in here. And oil is particularly strong in here today, currently trading at 55.45. That's up 110 on the light sweet crude NYME. Okay, now the big picture long-term outlook, starting with global stock markets. Now, I maintain, of course, that Wall Street is in a secular bear market, long defined by me here as a generational long process of P/E ratio contraction and rising yields, not in any linear fashion, but in rolling waves. And this process occurs following major the bursting of major bubbles, because in this instance, investors will gradually or increasingly realize that we are not only no longer in a 1990s environment, but that we are unlikely to return to that type of environment anytime soon. So they become more conservative, meaning that they will pay less for shares overall. Now, a lot of that rise in multiples, decline in multiples, to get that straight. A lot of that decline in multiples and rise in yields can, of course, occur from growth. And one of the main factors determining how stock markets perform overall will remain liquidity. And so far, liquidity has been relatively high, but I think it's best to think in terms of a glass ceiling for the various U.S. indices, which is unlikely to be exceeded in this decade, and probably not until well into the next decade, and for the Nasdaq, probably even longer than that. Now, second point to emphasize here is that a technical bull phase within the secular bear market, and this was the technical bull that commenced and was predictable and very recognizable back in March 2003. You may well remember, if you were listening to audios earlier this year or late last year, that my best case scenario was that it would carry well into the first quarter of 2005. And indeed, it ran till ran for a duration of 2 years, with most indices peaking around March 2005 or a little earlier in some instances. Now, my feeling is that given the technical damage that we have seen subsequently, that technical bull phase is well and truly over. And that doesn't mean that it's beyond the possibility that a small handful of markets, particularly some of the emerging markets, some of the Asian markets, could just nudge through to a new high for the year. But I feel that Really, it's not. It's far less a question of upside potential, but that rather than one of downside risk. I want us all to be thinking in terms of downside risk. Now, I've said in some of my recent audios that that would not necessarily be a popular theme with some of the new subscribers, veterans who have enjoyed the technical bulls and participated in some of the previous technical bears will be less concerned, but I can understand the new subscribers coming on will be interested in, well, what can we buy now, here and now in terms of shares. Running my own money on a basis of a total return hedge fund, and I think a lot of other investors are in sympathy with that type of approach. I only want to be buying equities if I feel that I can make money in the short to medium term. And in this environment, I think the risks outweigh the potential. So I'm not really interested in that. I'm far more interested in building up some of my asymmetrical short positions to hedge some of my supply inelasticity investments. Those are investments in natural resource shares that I do wish to hold more or less for the long term. And also some of my positions in leading emerging markets such as India, which is my favorite stock market of all for the very long term. Okay, now if the technical bull is over, and I feel that the technical evidence for this is really quite compelling, then what's the actual downside risk, and how long, how much will we see markets actually deteriorate, and over what time period? And I think we could easily see a couple of quarters of basically weak stock markets. And I think we've only seen the initial shot off the highs. I'm not looking for a collapse of markets. I don't think we have the prior conditions for that, but I'm certainly biased towards the bear side, and will trade accordingly. Now, when I say that maybe it'll be an unpopular theme with some of the new subscribers, and I'll promise not to repeat that too many times, I can only call it as I see it. And I think, like most of us, I only take positions in these markets with the view to increasing capital, not feeding it back. Okay, now, what about potential for markets on a longer-term basis? Well, first, bear in mind what I always refer to as the Wall Street leash effect. In other words, Wall Street is the big, dominant, influential market. Hope spring eternal that Japan or various other markets will uncouple from the major moves on Wall Street. It seldom happens, and there's no evidence that it's about to happen anytime soon. Although we can get some divergences. We don't get major trend divergences all that often. So I refer to the Wall Street leash effect. If Wall Street is trending lower, then that's reining in the leash, that's limiting upside potential in most other markets. And when Wall Street falls sharply, we will see a good many of the other markets fall even faster than Wall Street because they're often higher beta. Now, conversely, when Wall Street is rallying, as we had seen up until March 2005, or the 2 years up until March 2005, that is letting out the leash and giving other markets the freedom to romp, or at least to match the Wall Street performance, depending on sentiment overall and governance in those various markets. And so my feeling is that the really great growth stories, such as that we see in countries like India and parts of East Asia, Southeast Asia, will do exceptionally well, as will a number of the commodity markets, South American markets, and the Eastern European markets will do exceptionally well during the medium-term rally phases for Wall Street. Now, we certainly saw that over the 2 previous years, and we will see it again, but perhaps not for a few more months yet. And in terms of favored markets for the favored developed country markets, India is my favorite stock market of all for the long term. My favorite developed country stock market for the long term is Japan, largely because its bubble burst 10 years and 3 months before the Nasdaq bubble. It's already been through its secular bear market trend. But Japan, I've often described as slow burn. It's still very much in the base building phase, and in Nikkei 225 index terms, the upper side of that base formation is just above the 12,000 level. That's against 11,045 here right now. And I had hoped prior to the downward break by Wall Street indices that we might well see Japan punch up out of that base formation, but this is now very unlikely to be the case until we get into a stronger environment for shares generally. But Japan's long-term potential is considerable, I believe, and considerably greater than that of Wall Street overall, although Wall Street, like many of the other markets, will get some pretty big swings in both directions, despite the fact that it's in an overall secular bear market environment. Now, moving on to government bonds, I maintain that a secular bull market ended in June of 2003 when we reached what are very likely to be multi-year lows in long-dated government bond yields and peaks, therefore, in long-dated government bond prices. Secular bull trends are followed by secular bear trends, but the topping out process in terms of bond prices, or the bottoming out process in terms of government bond yields, is likely to be a very lengthy affair. I see no evidence that it's over. We'll get lots more ranging. Right now, on a short-term basis, I think there's really quite limited upside scope for bond prices, downward scope, in other words, for long-dated government bond yields. But equally, I think with the concern over global GDP growth, which has been slowing in recent months and may continue to slow, quite likely to continue to slow further, that we are unlikely to see any major collapse in bond prices over the next few months. We're much more likely to see further ranging and overall top development for prices, and that creates opportunities to sell short government bond futures after rallies tire, and it would probably be prudent to cover those short positions when we get the periodic sell-offs, which can be quite sharp. Certainly that's the tactic that's worked since June 2003, and it's one that's still working. In terms of currency markets, we don't get the big secular once-in-a-generation moves that we see in stock markets, government bonds, and particularly in commodities, not least because there's no country that can withstand the perpetually strong currency, which prices that country's exports out of the global economy. But we do get trends that will last for a number of years, sometimes 5, 6, even 7 years, although those are exceptional for currency markets. Now, the one that's on everybody's mind is the U.S. dollar, and of course we have seen quite a significant bear market decline by the dollar, which took it back down close to the 80 level on the U.S. dollar index. And the historic lows for that index going back into the 1990s are down in the sort of 78 to 80 level. And so it's not surprising that we've seen the dollar index steady and go into a ranging phase, mainly between 80 and say 85 and a half. I've been long forecasting primarily a ranging year for currencies this year, and I think we're likely to see that continue and for the US dollar. So I wouldn't I'm not thinking in terms of any explosive fireworks in the currency markets over the short term and perhaps medium term. And currently what we've seen is having seen the dollar get up close to that 85 level on its index, it is now drifting back down. It's taken another bit of a hit in here today. Not that big a hit, as I say, it's just drifting down within that range overall. There is a chance, and I think a reasonably good chance. What's a reasonably good chance? Well, I put it at least 50-50 that before the year is out that we will see the dollar punch up above that 85 and a half level and perhaps get a bit more of a medium-term technical rally. It would be hardly surprising. The dollar spent most of 2004 ranging, and it spent most of 2003 ranging, with the bigger drops occurring in 2001 from the highs and 2002. Overall, my view is that we have seen most in the decline down to nearly to 80, that we have seen most of the US dollar's overall bear market decline, but that we haven't seen the final lows in here, and it may be a good many months, probably even years, before a bottoming out process is completed. Meanwhile, in the short term, higher interest rates in the US will lend some further support to the US dollar, more likely than not. And just to drop back a little bit further on that, my view on stock markets is that we probably won't have meaningful upside gains. In other words, gains worth buying for until the US switches from a policy of rising short-term interest rates to declining short-term interest rates once again, and we haven't reached that level yet, obviously. Okay, moving on to, well, more, a little bit more on currencies. I think the best we're going to see are some short-term trading opportunities. And you may recall I had that short-term trade buying the dollar a few weeks ago against the Japanese yen. Took that profit a couple of days ago, and I've also traded from time to time long positions in the Australian dollar and the New Zealand dollar. And having only just returned to the office recently after that nearly 3 week stint in hospital, I feel like I've kind of missed this latest push up against about by the Aussie and the Kiwi dollars. I do like these higher yielding currencies, but I only really want to buy them after setbacks. So with a pistol at my head, I'd probably be long the Aussie and particularly the Kiwi against the greenback, but I'm not going to chase this since I think we've already seen a good part of the rally that's likely to occur. In the resources area, and this is one of the big hot themes, it's certainly been my investment theme of the decade since 2003, the supply and elasticity trades. I've reproduced from BCA a compelling couple of graphs on the website in the subscribers area today. Do have a look at those. They are awfully, awfully important. And I won't repeat all the arguments in favor of this, but I maintain that secular bull markets are underway, and this includes the certainly the energy sector, and it's everything from crude oil price to uranium, not least uranium, and it includes all of the industrial metals, and I think also the precious metals as well. All of the precious metals may well be lagging behind the industrial metals until inflation is a much greater problem a decade or more down the road. Now, the metal markets are really quite volatile, and they have had big gains over the last 3 years, but off historic lows, particularly in real terms. And again, look at those BCA graphs, which help to put the whole moves in perspective. Now, an appreciating dollar creates a headwind for those metals, as do rising interest rates, and as does any slowdown in global GDP growth. And as time elapses, more supply is steadily coming on stream, and also the recycling against the background of high prices of scrap metals. You don't have quite that same sort of situation with energy, of course. Once that barrel of oil is consumed, it's gone. In a sense, it's not recoverable in any usable form. Not so of industrial metals or precious metals, which can constantly be recycled. So the energy story is very big and going to run a very long time, and I expect to be more or less permanently overweight in energy equities, and I also expect to be more or less permanently overweight in other raw material equities, mining shares, particularly industrial mining shares, the class companies, companies like Rio Tinto Zinc and BHP Billiton. And those, and of course, I am particularly interested in playing the metal markets on the basis of futures contracts. This is not the most propitious time to be doing that overall, given the moves that we've seen, given the rising interest rates, given the somewhat slower GDP growth, and the probability that supply will continue to rise in line to meet demand. This is a choppy environment for those metals, so I'm keeping positions relatively small. And the best time to buy, which requires a bit of an act of faith, is after we see one of those little bungee jump sell-off moves. They have generally rallied back upwards, and if one concentrates on the metals that remain entrenched with backwardations, copper, for instance, with very strong backwardation, it can still be quite a lucrative exercise, but it's one that needs to be kept in perspective. We don't want to be overly aggressive at this stage. We could easily see a further shakeout in mining shares in line with the general stock market corrections. Mining shares have had a wonderful run. It's hardly surprising that we would get a multi-month consolidation. And the same could be said for a number of the actual metal prices, particularly if we get another rally within the US dollar, not only to its range highs, described on the dollar index as being up at about 85.5, but if we were to see a push above that level, that would certainly weigh on most metal prices, in my view. Agricultural commodities, well off their lows. Some of them have retreated, particularly wheat. They are historically low, and I'd be very surprised if we didn't see a number of forays on the upside this year and probably next year, since they are trading at very, very low levels, and the vagaries of weather conditions can lead to some panicky short covering and long hedging that can move prices up really quite substantially. So that's pretty much it, I think, for another week. It's good to be back in the office, albeit only 3 days so far. But I'm certainly being back at work, and I hope you're enjoying the written comment and the commentary on these audios. And meanwhile, have a spectacular weekend.